Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dare to Design podcast with me, Karen Hilsinger, a graphic design student just trying to figure it out. Join me as I learn more about the industry and interview designers of all backgrounds, getting a look into what the life of a graphic designer is really like. Hello, what's up? I hope you are well. It's been a hot minute since I last uploaded an episode. I was sick for about 2 weeks, not corona, it was just a virus. We're all good now. But I am back with the really fun episode with Katie Campbell. Katie is a 21-year-old college student who runs a successful Etsy shop and a quickly growing Instagram account. She specializes in illustrations for prints, stickers, and of course on social media. We chat about everything from starting an Etsy shop, falling into freelancing, the power of Gen Z, tunnel vision, bar carts, and of course Procreate. The vibes were truly great while recording this episode. And I apologize if the audio cuts out once in a while. I was having some connection issues on my end. But other than that, thank you for listening and enjoy. Hello, Katie. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
So to get started, I just want you to introduce yourself, who you are, where you're located, just icebreakers, stuff like that.
Well, my name is Katie Campbell. I'm 21. I'm currently located in Louisiana, but usually I'm in Birmingham, Alabama. That's where I go to school. So that's usually where I am. And that's where I like to say that I'm from. I don't know. I like to say that I'm from there. So I'm a full-time student. I'm going into my senior year. I guess a little bit about me is that I guess growing up, I was always like creative, but never really did like actual like graphic designer art and college. I was one of those kids like tried this and then quit and tried that then quit then tried then quit. I did probably like everything, like every sport possible. Gymnastics lasted one day. That was the shortest run. But I did like musical theater. I sang and stuff like that, which I don't think any of my followers know, so sneak peek into that. But yeah, so I've always sort of been creative into like the arts side of things. But kept just trying things out and never really found anything that stuck until this, I guess. But as far as my major, I go to a really small school, so we don't have a lot of major. So I was not happy with the options, so I just created my own, which was quite the journey. And I didn't really think anybody did that, but I did. So it's mass media communications. I kind of just named it myself, so the name is a little arbitrary. I just kind of chose it, which was kind of fun. But yeah, so I'm majoring in mass media communications, and yeah, I guess that's a little bit about me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't even know you could do that, so that's pretty cool that
you could, like, neither did on. I. It was really like, you know, you're working a lot with like actual like people in charge of like the school. I don't know, you know, the staff.
Yeah, like advisors and stuff.
Exactly. It taught me a lot how to like advocate for myself, which was a really helpful skill that I've carried with me, I guess, since that. And it's an unexpected skill to gain from something like just picking your major or creating your major, but it's been really helpful.
Yeah, I can imagine. So with that, I want to move into like your freelancing journey, business questions, like if you ever knew you were going to go into freelancing, but like when did you start your Instagram account? Because that's how I found you.
Yeah, so I started my Instagram account in October of 2019, and I actually started it intending for it to be like basically just a portfolio. So I had just kind of switched my major in like around Christmas of, I guess it would have been like 2018. So like going into 2019. And I kind of, like I said, since I created my, I kind of didn't really know what was going on, to be completely honest. Like my classes are just kind of like a hodgepodge of everything. So I'm grabbing a couple skills from this class, a couple skills from this class. And I really like that, but also it just kind of leaves me a little bit confused. So the idea of a portfolio had never like really been introduced to me. Mm-hmm. And so like, you know, I could make a website or I could just make an Instagram that I could send to people. Instagram's kind of my thing. So like, I'll just do that and I'll send that out to people. I had like previously been running my sorority's Instagram, and I still do, but that I'd been creating a lot of graphics for that. And so I was like, you know, I'll just put things that I do for that and things that I do for different clubs on there, just sort of as a place to have everything all in one place. Mm-hmm. So I created that with that intent. And then very quickly it went differently for me. I just was like, like I found Procreate basically and kind of just went wild. Like, you know, I'm just going to post this stuff because why not? Like, this is what I want to post. And I was still kind of posting some graphics and stuff, especially on my stories. I would like share my sorority stuff and then put it on a highlight. All of that's gone now just because I have about a bajillion other things to put on highlights.
Yeah.
But so I kind of quickly started to transition into like Procreate stuff. But I always like to say that I started my Instagram account in October 2019, but I started my Instagram account in March. So
okay.
Really like take anything seriously or post consistently until I got sent home from school for COVID. So that's when like all of it really started to be like what it is today, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are experiencing that now with like COVID, and that's basically what I did. I was like, I mean, I really can't do anything for my career now, so I'll give Instagram a shot. And it's been really helpful just to like see other types of artists and things like that. So it was for your portfolio, but then you said it quickly changed. How fast did that happen?
I guess, so while I was at school, you know, throughout and everything, during Christmas, I did, like, during all the breaks is when things would pick up for me, obviously, because I had more time. And now I'm about to go back, but I'm not slowing down, don't worry. Got too much too much invested in it now to slow down. It's like my favorite thing. But so during like Christmas it would pick up. I would say Christmas is when I started really playing around with like Procreate and realized that like there were other accounts like mine, like what mine has turned into, I guess what I wanted mine to be. And I started following them and like kind of started like talking to people on Instagram and stuff, and just discovered that it was, and before I just really did not know what like Instagram graphic design community or the Instagram digital art community even was. So I think around Christmas I started to discover what it was, and then like I said, kind of let some of my steam out whenever I went back to school. And then whenever I came back home in March, I would say that's when, like, I think since March I've posted almost every day, with a couple of exceptions. But that's when I really started to, and I wasn't really doing it to like build a business or anything. Like I did not even think that. I did not even know that was an option for me.
Yeah.
I just kind of like did what I wanted to do. I was bored, so I was creating and I was posting it, and then it just kind of spiraled into this, which is beautiful and but very unexpected.
That's so cool. Like you always hear about people that can do that and you're like, oh wait, there's like a whole graphic design community. Like, oh shit, I didn't know that. And yeah. I did the same thing. I was like, oh wait, so I could talk to all these people and like meet people. Like I talked to someone in the UK and then someone in San Diego, and now you're in Louisiana. And it's like, I would have never connected with any of these people and like still follow them and still have these like Instagram relate like friendships. I don't know, something like that. But
yeah.
It's just so cool to put like a face to the art. And it's also different, and it's like you fell into this community, but it's like I feel like you were always looking for something like that, you know, with your major you didn't have that, and now with Instagram now you have that, so thanks Instagram.
Yeah, for real, shout out to Instagram for literally everything. I love them.
So then how did you go about building your account once you saw that you're like, oh shit, people like this stuff? Like were you like, oh man, I need to like make an Etsy, I need to make a logo, stuff like that?
Yeah, so as far as, I don't know when you followed me, but I was KEC Designs, and then I switched over, rebranded, just to, honestly, so that was fun. But I guess start March, so like I said, I was just kind of like posting what I wanted to and just like doing it for fun. And then a lot of my friends were like, you should make stickers. And I was selling on Redbubble at the time, but if you know anything, Redbubble, they're great and they're beautiful and they're good for what they are, but like I probably sold like 200 stickers and then made like $20. So the profit margin is really low, which makes sense because they're doing everything for you, and if that's what works for you then that's great, but it doesn't really feel like you are running a business. You don't have any control over your product or anything. And I was just like, Frank, I just had a lot of free time and I was like, let's do it myself. So it was very early April that like, really I was like, okay, my friends are asking for this. My followers are asking, like people want stickers. And so do I. So I was like, you know, I'm going to get a Cricut and a printer. And a lot of people get like very overwhelmed at the beginning because like they think that they have to buy like everything in the world to start. Yeah. I didn't do that. I just bought minimum things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, obviously it's not cheap to buy a Cricut and a printer, but I got like basically a loan from my dad and bought that and then paid it back pretty but so I just decided to start. And then I guess since my account's kind of been gaining traction, which I get DMs all the time that are like, how did you grow so fast? I'm like, that is a great question. I have no idea. Like, I really have no idea how that happened to me. I know what I did, but I don't know which of those things is helping. So that's when it started to kind of grow, and it's kind of been on a steady like growth since say March, but really, you know, starting all of the products has really helped kind of give it that like double. What I'm posting on Instagram isn't just me being like, these are my stickers, here they are. Like, mm-hmm. I run this business. Like, the Instagram stuff is its own thing. Like, that's its own, like, I'm posting graphics and like, that's its own, you know, thing going on. So, you know, it's kind of given it like another
layer. So yeah, my friends were doing that too. They were like texting me and they were like, so wait, you do design, right? Or like, I'm also in a sorority. And they were like, can you like make this custom print for me? Can you do this and that? And I was like, yeah, but like, it'll be $15. And I just started there and I was like, and they were like willing to pay. They were like, yeah, I want to support you in your entrepreneurial endeavors. And I was like, oh wait, you're calling me an entrepreneur? Like, what?
I know, that scares me. Every time somebody says that, or like every time like somebody's like, what have you been doing this summer? I'm like, I run a small business. And every time I say that, I'm like, ooh,
I know.
I feel so weird about it.
Yeah,
but like, I shouldn't, you know?
I was going to say there's like a stigma around small businesses and like, yeah, it's not going to last. And I'm like, who are you to like, I'm the one running it. I'm the one that is like controlling it. And like, I see that you know that it's working and it's obviously not stopping anytime soon. Cause I think I followed you around 20K and what, you're at like 31?
I'm at 30, 32.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. It's been like 2 months. So
I know, it's insane. It really is crazy. But I guess I didn't really answer your part of the question about like logos and everything. And I feel like that's kind of something that people like freak about. Some like when you like, are like, oh, this is like legit, like when you realize that everything's like kind of getting real. And my best advice is like, take it one day at a time. Like, if you start to gain some traction, whatever, like you don't have to like have everything together, everything lined up, all of your stuff done before you start. You need to just start, because if you try to do everything beforehand, you will keep coming up with stuff to do, you'll keep coming up with things that you haven't done, you'll never start. So just start and kind of take it one day at a time. You don't have to be the most legit person in the entire world to be successful. I would say part of my brand, at least what I try to be, is like authentic and like a real person rather than like a super like businesswoman kind of person. Because that's just who I am and I don't want to be fake. So I would say just like starting and kind of taking it as it comes. I changed my logo like 2 billion times when I was KEC Designs. Cause I just was like my color started off as yellow and navy blue. Like, could not be more different than what I've got going on now.
Yeah.
But, just like be okay with things changing, be okay with your views of your own, I guess, business or page changing. Like, you don't have to be stuck in a box. Nobody's forcing you to. Mm-hmm. So just kind of take it one day at a time. That's my best advice. That's what I did.
Yeah, I mean, personal branding is always the hardest because you're like, it has to be this. And that, like, it's like, well, what if I want to get business cards done and then a website? Like, it all has to match. And then you're like, oh, but I want to change it. Like, I've done that 3 times, I think. Like, I haven't printed business cards yet because I'm like, I know it's going to change. At least.
Yeah, and you can also, like, the beauty of being a small business is, like, whenever I ended, like, I was just then running out of my little thank you cards that I had ordered for my order. So I really wasn't losing that much money. Like, you can always change it And during the time that I was changing it, I sent out these little like things that was like, we rebranded. Although this says KEC Designs, that is not what we are anymore. So whenever I was rebranding, my best friend actually, that Gen Z catches on really quick. So you don't have to worry too much about all of that because Gen Z catches on really quick. I found that to be very true. Gen Z does catch on very quick.
That's so true. I haven't thought of it as that way. You know, it's always like millennials, but it's like, no, we're like, I guess our target audience is like Gen Z, and like we're in the in-between of Gen Z and millennials. So it's like, mm-hmm. we don't really know where we are, but yeah, Gen Z knows what's up, and they know that, you know, we're all just out here trying.
Yeah,
and
really.
There's a pandemic and that you're sure. a senior in college, and it's like, this is all just your life, and it doesn't have to be this like strict plan, because obviously mm-hmm. you didn't have a plan and it's still working out, you know?
Yeah, that's like, I was on another podcast that like last week, and I do not love business plans. Like, I obviously am not a businesswoman, so like all the business people listening to this are probably like, ooh. But I do not like business plans because they make me anxious and they box me in, and I don't like them. I prefer to have goals. Like, you don't need a 5-year plan. If you're listening to this and that gives you anxiety, like, you don't need that. You can just have goals. Like, goals. Like, you need something to work towards, but you don't have to have this strict step-by-step plan. So that's my 2 cents on business plans after my, like, 2 business classes I've taken. You're welcome for knowledge.
No, I mean, yeah, I had a plan. I was like, you know what? I'll make a website and a portfolio. So then, like, employers can see that during this time, like, I made something out of the pandemic. Well, yeah, I did that. But then I'm like, well, wait, I could do more things for myself. And I could, like, mm-hmm. try to make streams of income for myself.
Yeah.
So, like, this podcast. And then I recently started an Etsy shop, like, 2 days ago.
Like,
whenever I get an idea, I just, like, I go with it. Like, I don't stop. My mom calls it tunnel vision, and she's like, dude, go eat. Like, you need to go have lunch. And I'm like,
I have talked so much about that on my stories, like, especially when I'm making stickers. So I guess this is kind of off base, but okay. When I do my stickers, I like print them and cut them, which, if you don't know anything, it's not hard by any means. It just takes a while because you're printing and then you're laminating. And then you have to come back here, put it on the mat, cut it, wait for it to cut. Then you got to print again. Then it just is like a
process.
But I like am always like staring at it. I'm like, I literally cannot eat until all these orders are packaged. Like, I can't. Like, that's not an option for me, which is not healthy for me, but... I totally get like that.
You get the drive and you get the motivation, really, because, you know, motivation is so come and go. So now I want to move in. We talked a lot about like your Etsy shop, but I kind of want to talk more just about what you sell on Etsy.
Okay.
So for your prints, like, how do you gather inspo and like, I guess, where did you come up with your style for what you sell?
So as far as like prints and stickers, my like go-to like thing to ask myself whenever I'm trying to design new things is like, what do I want? Like, what would I mm-hmm. buy? Like, if I were buying stickers and I didn't sell them, what would I be looking up? Like, yeah. What would I want on my computer? What would I want on my wall? Things like that. And sometimes like I'll just be for Instagram and like things will come out of it.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm designing specifically for prints and everything, but I guess more broadly my style, I would say my style is very based on my color palette, mm-hmm. which is something that like, I'm just, if you can't tell, big on the aesthetics. I've always that's like what drew me into like graphic design and all of that stuff in the first place. Like, I'm just huge into aesthetics and all of that kind of stuff. And so I just started off by like, everybody's always like, how did you make your color palette or did you buy it? I'm like, no, I just made it. I don't really even know how I made it. Kind of like played around with colors and like picked colors that I liked. And as I saw them working well together, I just added them to palettes. Before I like had a cohesive palette, I had like 700 palettes. Like, I had so many with like 2 colors on it. Yeah. And eventually I was like, this is a mess. I need to fix this. I have to combine this, and came up with a palette. But still stray from it. And you know, so I've been using blue recently, which is crazy, and green. But honestly, it looks good. So most of my stuff is sort of like coral, peach, orange, pink. Mm-hmm. You know, lighter pinks. My dog's coming in here. But so I would say that my style is based a lot off of that. And like, people have asked me, how would you define your style? I honestly kind of have no idea. I would just say like kind of like girly, but also, I don't want to say boho because it's not boho, but it's like, I really like textures. Mm-hmm. And that kind of stuff. I love playing with textures. Fan of stars. I have stars in like almost every single one of my illustrations. But I just choose like whenever I think like, what would I like? It kind of all together, have my own taste, if that makes any sense, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I choose like what to do. And like I said, sometimes Instagram posts will turn into like prints and stickers and stuff. But if I'm designing specifically for that, for prints, I think like, you know, there's certain things that like, you don't want that on your wall. Like certain quotes that are just like good to hear at the time, but like, you don't really need that on your wall. But like, I'm staring at my prints right now. My creativity takes courage one. Like, I think that's cute for a wall. I have it on my wall. Like that's a reminder that you would want. Or like my coffee one, like when I was making that, I was thinking like, this would be cute for a kitchen or above a coffee station, or my fruit one, like this would be cute for a kitchen or like a bathroom or something. Mm-hmm. And like one of my friends is thinking about prints and she does a lot of makeup illustrations. I was like, well, that would be cute for a bathroom. If you think of them, like she was like, if I did a pack, like think of them on a wall in a space. And like, you know, maybe if you wanted to make something specifically like for a kitchen, like, you know, you could think of the space beforehand. You could think of a quote beforehand, just starting with something. But I like to think of what I would want on my wall, what I would want on my computer. And a lot of stickers, like there are certain things that just don't stickers. Like sometimes people will comment on my posts and they're like, make this a sticker. I'm like, that won't really work, either because of like shape or because of like the text is too small and like nobody could read that, or something along those lines. Certain constraints, but a lot of times I would just think of, like I said, a bajillion times what I would want.
No, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, like I was thinking about, like I have a group chat with my friends and I was like, if you could have anything on your computer, or on your wall, like what genre do you want? Or what do you want that you don't have that you're like, oh, that would be nice. And my friend, she worked at a, like, I guess kind of like a country club type of thing. And she got into wine and she was the one that was like trying to sell you the wine. She would get commission off of it. So she was like, I don't know, I kind of like that style. It's minimal, but it's also like elegant, but it's also like fun. I was like, okay, let me go from there. And then I thought of her favorite drinks and mojito. So then I made like an illustration, an illustrator with like image trace, and I found like fun type. So now I have a series of like four different drink prints that are like popular drinks. And then they could all match. And she's like, oh my God, I'm going to get them and put it above my bar cart.
That's what I was about to say. I just ordered a bar cart. It's sitting in my garage. I have wanted a bar cart since I was like, and of course there's no reason for me to have a bar cart until I'm 21. So I've been like waiting. I've just been like waiting for the day that I get a bar cart. And I finally got my bar cart. I'm so excited. I'm going to order your drink prints. I've decided right now. I'm going to put them above my bar cart.
Awesome. I mean, honestly, this is so off topic, but I feel like that's like a thing. Like when you get your bar cart, you know, like you made it. Like,
I agree. It's like so- we were texting about our, like, we're living in like a suite kind of deal that has like a common room next year. And they were like, okay, what's everybody in the living room? I was like, bar cart and all of the stuff on it. And the art above the bar cart. I can handle the whole bar cart area.
Yeah, that's my
space. Like, nothing's like, following me to everywhere I go now. Like, I love it.
It's like the bar cart, and then there's like a coffee station. Or I've seen people that do like the coffee underneath and the bar cart and like the alcohol on top. And
that is so cute.
It's just like a thing. I feel like when you turn 21 or you're living, you have an apartment, it's like you get to decorate that how you want. Mm-hmm. And I've seen so many like dorms or apartments, common rooms, and they're like, I don't know, it's just, I need something, or like I want like a fun print, or like I have another idea where I'm gonna do like wine glasses, you know, like how people do the it's like music with like the glasses and they put like their finger around it. So I have an idea of like lining up the glasses or making it like a pyramid and then like pouring the champagne over it, so it's like that would be print.
That's
and
so cute.
Ombres of red wine to white wine, so then you get like the rosé in there. So I'm just trying to think
that's
of like
so cute,
I guess, like aesthetic alcohol prints, because everyone's like, I'm an adult now, I want like these. So I guess I'm trying to gravitate towards that audience. So it's so funny that you brought up the bar cart.
I think that's good audience to get into. That's like, I've been like looking for things like that. I love it.
Perfect. Yeah, that was such a tangent. But let's go back to talking about your Etsy shop. So then you also have, I noticed, a niche of like Alabama designs. Was that because you were like, this is my audience, like I could get people from school first to buy them and stuff like that?
Yeah, so a lot of like when I was selling on Redbubble, I started, I guess, like by accident designing things about school, because it started really, we have this ginkgo tree at school. And in the fall, which is around when I started my account, it turns like beautiful yellow, like orange yellow, all of the leaves. It's huge, gorgeous, but it does that for like 4 days. Like it's 4 days a year and then it's gone. So excited for it to do it. Like I'm so excited thinking about it. It warms my heart. It's so beautiful. And it's like one of our school's like big things. So I made a ginkgo leaf sticker, and that sticker is really special to me because the first time that I saw somebody like having one of my stickers that I didn't like tell about it was that one. So I was like sitting in class and this girl opened her laptop and I was like, that's my sticker. What? And like, of course we know each other because we go to the same school and it's really small, but I was like, oh my God, I didn't like, we're not really friends. Like, and she has my sticker on her laptop right now.
Yeah.
So that's still like my favorite one, just because it's special to me, because my school is special to me and everything. But so I kind of started creating like that kind of stuff, just because when you go to a small school, not that many options of stickers, and like there's no Redbubble people who are selling them. Like it's really just me. So yeah. I wanted them for myself, and then my friends wanted them, and just like really proud to be going, like, I guess not proud of Birmingham, but like I love Birmingham.
Yeah, like, it's like you're a part of your really, identity, you know?
Yeah, like I just really love it. And I think that there's so many like beautiful parts of Birmingham. And so like the Color Tunnel and the Magic City sign, the ginkgo leaf, and then the cotton were some that I created specifically Birmingham. And then I made a Birmingham print. And those are just things that like I wanted that I like didn't really find because people aren't creating things for my school. So I would say, I guess I saw an opportunity to kind of get in that way. Yeah. Because obviously the first people that knew about my stuff were people from my school and my friends. So I've just kind of carried that with me, just because even though they aren't the best selling things on my Etsy, like they're just like things that I like, and they do get sales. And I think that they're special to people. Like location-based things, I think, are smart because people like to have that like as a part of their identity. So I've just kind of kept them, and I'll probably keep creating stuff if I come up with it. Just kind of as I go, but yeah, that is why I have that.
And I mean, yeah, you like, you found something that you didn't have that you wanted, and you're like, well, I'm not the only one that feels that way. Yeah. Like, I go to Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey. Like, they have two campuses in New Jersey, and then they have like two smaller ones, like in England and one in Vancouver. But it's like, I went on Redbubble, and how I first started, like, I uploaded one of my old designs just to see how it was, and I was gonna get like 20 cents for the sticker. And I was like, hey, you know what? If I want this to be like a source of income, possibly, this isn't going to be my route. Like, I want to have more control over it, like you were saying. So then I was like, you know what? I took like a digital marketing class once, and I was like, I'm going to search for the keywords that I would search for looking for what I want. So I typed in the university and I just typed in New Jersey. And oh my God, some of the things, it looked like it was from like 2008.
That's how my school was too. I was like, we gotta fix this.
It was just so bad. I was like, no wonder nobody's buying. No wonder I don't see anybody on my campus with these stickers. Like,
yeah.
And like, we can instill that pride in our school, because people always call it, like, Fairleigh Dickinson, people call it, like, fairly ridiculous, because it's, like, a private school, and that's, like, a stigma, and I'm, like, but it's a really good school, and people just don't know that, so I'm, like, how about we bring it, I guess, into the Gen Z generation, and let's make it cool. So
that's exactly, like, stickers thing for
college students.
That's what college students want, and, like, that putting your college sticker on your computer, especially when you're a freshman, is huge. My school got me to design some stickers, like, for the class of 2024 that they're giving them, which was really fun. I'll do anything for them. Like, literally, I would cut off my leg for my school. but, like, that's what they want, and I think that, like, getting in there kind of, like, early is really smart, especially for small schools. That's the key.
So that's my plan. Like, we're like the Devils, and the mascot is a little weird looking, but I'm like, I could totally make it work with, like, an illustrated, like, watercolor vibe. Like, it would be cute, and it would be fine. Like, I just have to make sure that, to go through, like, copyright things and make sure, like, I'm allowed to sell that stuff, or I need to get their permission, or, like, maybe I could sell it in their school store or something. I don't know. These are all ideas I have, and I'm like, well, thanks COVID. Like, thanks Corona. This is all great.
Yeah, really.
So going back to your Alabama and, like, I guess the trendy stickers, I guess the aesthetics, you know, did you get, like, requests for, like, custom things ever?
I do get requests sometimes, especially from, like, my friends, for, like the Birmingham print that I did. I wouldn't say I got a request for that specifically, but, like, a lot of times people will be like, make more, like, Birmingham stuff, especially, like, graduating seniors. Like, especially girls in my sorority who I'm close to. I'm thinking of one specifically who, like, had talked about it. But people will, you know, who are moving away or who are, like, going to live in Birmingham forever. Either way, Birmingham was a part of their life, big part of their life. And, like, people coming in here panting. People want Birmingham stuff, especially, you know, this graduating seniors. So I did get sort of requests generalized around that, and that's how that print kind of came to be. And I've gotten even more requests that I haven't done yet of, like, school specific stuff. So we have, like, a big bell tower at our school. Like, people want to see that as, like, a sticker and a print, which I should probably work on now that I think about it. But yeah, so people will come to me with requests. Sometimes I do customs if people want bad, but if not, I'll just be like, okay, yeah, I'll do that at some point. Can't promise it to it. But yeah, I would say that people have given me requests, especially people I'm close to who feel comfortable being like, make this.
Yeah, my friends do that too. They were like, can you do like a Harry Styles quote? I was like, sure. So for stickers, you mentioned you use the Cricut, and I guess that comes with, like, a bundle I've seen you could buy, like, with the paper and everything. And then with prints, you just print it, like, yourself. I know other people go through, like, printers and stuff like that.
Yeah, so for, I guess I'll start with prints. I made a TikTok yesterday. So if you want to see it, go check that out. But I use my Canon PIXMA IX6820, which is sold out everywhere. And I feel so bad to ask. And I'm like, it's been sold out for, like, months, but it's great. But I use that. Honestly, I just researched, like, photo printers or, like, art print, like, good printers for, like, discs, and I just watched YouTube videos and read articles and stuff and picked this one, but I know there's other good ones. But this one I would say around, like, 180, which a printer, this quality is not. And let me tell you something about this printer. The ink lasts so long. Like, I'm printing full color prints, full color stickers, and the ink, and I'm like, it's gone. And it's not gone. It's crazy. But that's one of my favorite things about this printer is the way that the ink lasts. Like, it's insane. But so I use this printer, and then I use professional matte photo paper from Office Depot for my prints. And that's really all you need for prints. As far as packaging them, make sure that you're using rigid mailers or else they'll get bent.
Yeah.
I've had some friends deal with that. Even if you use a cardboard insert, the chances of them getting bent are still really high. So I'd recommend rigid mailers. All of my mailers are from Amazon for everything. I use rigid mailers for everything because everything's a paper product. For stickers, I use CD mailers. So they're like 6x6 CD mailers.
Cool.
They're super cheap. But the rigid mailers that I use are, I think, 9.5x12 or something. And then I use cellophane bags for my prints as well. I got, like, art quality ones so that they don't have like acids in them to like mess with your, I'm not an art student. I don't really know what it means, but I just did that because it seemed like a good idea. Like I said, I'm kind of faking it till I make it. So that's what I do for prints. And then as far as stickers, this is something that confuses a lot of people. So I'm just going to go through the process. So when you have a Cricut, the Cricut does not print. A lot of people think that the Cricut prints. It does not. So you need a printer, and there's like a program on your computer called Cricut Design Space. Mm-hmm. And you upload your designs, the print and cut feature. So you print it to your printer, and then you, I laminate mine. So I use like a glossy laminate. The paper that I use is from Amazon. It's Zacoto brand.
Okay.
It's called vinyl matte paper. Here it is. See, but I'm holding it up. And I really like this. I didn't even realize, but it's like a business that sells on Amazon. They like send a thank you card in every package of like these things, like these pieces of paper. And that makes me happy. So I will never stop using them now because I like supporting small businesses, obviously. So I use that paper, and then I use Oracle brand laminate, which is awesome, but sells out all the time, which is a little bit nerve-wracking, but it's okay. And so you print it, then you laminate it, then you put it through your Cricut. So that's how you cut them and all of that. And you could do like kiss cut or die cut. Doing die cut. Mm-hmm. Kiss cut means like that they're sticking and you can like peel them off. Die cut is that it's like its own like sticker all the way cut out. I just like doing die cut. Personally, because of the way that I have everything, but if you do like sheets, you could do that too. Cricut can do so many things. But yeah, so that's what I would need, or that's what you would need to do stickers. But if you want matte laminate, there's tons of different on Amazon and on tons of different websites. So I would say research if you know, but mine are glossy. I guess as far as like background supplies, I use an iPad Pro 11-inch and the second gen Apple Pencil, but you don't need a Pro. I get questions about this all the time. You don't have to have a Pro. Before I had the Pro, I had the budget iPad, which is like the smaller one that they made to be compatible with Apple Pencil, but that's not like a Pro, which that worked really well. It was just 32 gigabytes. Did not work. My Procreate crashing and like deleting my stuff. And I was to a point where like I was having so many customs, did not have the time for Procreate to be deleting full customs. So
What size storage do you have now?
I have 128 gigabytes, and I use mine for like school and my like design stuff, and it works well for me. So
great. Those are things that I think people need to know as well. Yeah. If you're like starting out, or like this podcast is targeted towards design students. So that's great for people to know. So do you have any like tips and tricks about Etsy specifically?
I would say do your tags, like use your brain when you're doing your tags, like really think about your tags. That is what's going to get you in people's searches. So Etsy will show like how much of your traffic that you drove and how much that their platform drove. So like how much your like people are from my Instagram and how many people are like finding me in the search bar. Mine's about 50-50, which I think is pretty good.
Yeah, that is good.
But like the 50 that's coming from them is like tags and everything. So make sure that you're doing those well and using all 13 of them. And same thing with your description. Like if you've ever taken any marketing classes, anybody listening, like you know like SEO and how that matters. Oh, yeah. And all of those different keywords. So think about that. And if you don't know, just look up like a little article and like how that works. You could look it up specifically for Etsy. It's just really helpful to get you somewhere that people will see you.
So, yeah.
That's all I got on Etsy.
So yeah, we spoke about your design process, your style, and then your program to use. So do you mostly use like Procreate? Is that like your...
Yeah, so as far as like everything I do on Instagram, almost everything is Procreate. Sometimes for low, depending on, I'll use the app Over, which is like an iPad app that's a little bit kind of similar to Photoshop. It's a little different. I use it a lot for my sorority stuff just because they have like pre-loaded graphics on there. Like I pay for the pro version and it's like pre-loaded graphics that I guess artists have made and uploaded for you to use on there. And it's just like a quicker, easier way to do something.
Yeah.
If you like want to create like a little Instagram story that's cute, but you don't want to like take the time to draw everything. Maybe it's for your personal Instagram. I just really like the app. I just think it's fun. But sometimes it's easier with typography than Procreate because Procreate's great and like can do so many things. But sometimes if I just want to like see something, move around the typography, like in something that I'm really comfortable with because I've been using it for so long, I'll use that. Procreate, you can add text and everything. And it really, I mean, it's awesome with that too. But I will use Over sometimes when I'm doing logos. I use it to format all of my brand kits and everything. Mm-hmm. Just because I have my template in there, it's just easy. So I do that on there. And yeah, most of what I use is Procreate though. And I know that it takes a long time to learn and it's hard. And I still don't know how to do everything. Like I learn something new every day, but it's like crazy how much it can do. I love it so much.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Procreate. I have never used it before, but like I went to the Apple store once and I was like, playing around with it, or like they had it loaded on one of the iPads and I was like, oh my god, this is so overwhelming. I was like,
yeah.
And then you could like download brushes and different textures and tools, and I was like, shouldn't that like come with it? Like I don't know, it just seems like such an overwhelming thing. Do you have any like favorites that you use?
Yeah, so as far as Procreate goes, my best advice for starting out is like, don't download anything new. Just keep what's on there. They have like a ton of brushes anyway. Mm-hmm. So you really do not need to download begin with unless you really are passionate about it. But I would say like, just start. The first thing you need to know how to use is the layers, which if you know how to do anything in design, you layers work. So just kind of get comfortable with that. My best tip, honestly, TikTok is kind of fire for Procreate tips. Like they just kind of like random. I mean, show up on my For You page at least, or my following page, is just kind of like random little tips and tricks. But that's a good way to learn like little random things that you haven't thought about. There's a ton of YouTube tutorials on it. Skillshare class, I've never taken one, but I've heard amazing things about them. If you just want to, you know, if you're starting and you're like, I don't even know, like this is so overwhelming, maybe take a Skillshare class just to get your bearings and then learn from there. And I just started and did what I knew how to do then and then kind of like grew with it. But brushes, I'm gonna pull it out and see what my favorites are. I've downloaded a lot, and most of what I use now is downloaded brushes just because that's what I like. I found some that are like Monoline is still my like one of my favorite brushes, especially when I'm not like hand lettering, if I'm like illustrating anything, because it's just like a streamlined, like it's not pressure sensitive brush. But Brush and Barley, who she has an Instagram account and an Etsy, she's pretty famous, so you probably, most of you probably know who she is. She has a lot of really good brushes made by Eli. She is I found her on TikTok, but she also has an Instagram. She sells a couple brushes that are really good. And then the Gladdest Thing, the website Gladdest Thing shop, brushes are like fire. They are so good. She has a texture kit and a like another kit that I don't remember what it's called. But she has like such fun brushes, and that's how I get a lot of my textures in my lettering and everything. So those are like some of my favorites. But I've downloaded a couple paper texture brushes. I don't know where they're from. I got them on Etsy, but I use them for like my backgrounds to make them look like paper. Those are really cool. I have like star stamps. There's just so much you can do. Like you can get little like my little star stamps I just downloaded from Etsy. Instead of having to draw all of my stars, I can like just use a stamp.
Wow.
But there's so much you can do, but I would say just kind of start small and then download as you go if you like want to expand. But yeah, know it's complicated and kind of scary, but if you just like go like do what you can and then kind of grow, then I would say that's the best way to go about it.
Yeah, that's all really good advice, you know, start small. So now we're going to get into the, like, the last segment of this podcast. The volume. Sorry. It's, like, crackling.
You're good.
So I know a lot of designers, like, they don't start freelancing or posting online because, like, they're afraid of taking the leap. And that's where I came up with the name of this podcast, daring to design, dare to design. Did you experience this of like the fear of putting yourself out there, or were you just like, you know what, F it, like, might as well try?
Well, so when I started, like I said, I didn't really intend any of this. So at the beginning, it wasn't very scary. It wasn't even like, I did think about creating an account a long time before I did. It wasn't as much fear as like, I didn't even know that it existed. So I was like, what do I even post? Like, what do people even want? So I guess in that sense, like, I was weary to start, but then once I started, I was just kind of like, well, I can just post whatever I want. Like, I don't have to post every day. I don't post everything kind of thing. But once it started to get more legit, I think I definitely did against some of that, you know, weariness, launching new products and stuff like that, or like new prints or anything like that. It just a little bit scary because I think like, what if it flops? Especially like, I'm currently thinking about like expanding into products that I'm buying from people that like I can't make in my house.
Yeah.
Like, how many do I buy? Like, it kind of does hold you back. But I am, like we were talking about earlier, like I kind of do go full steam ahead whenever I come up with an idea and get that tunnel vision, which I think is both a good and a bad thing, but it's good because I don't really give myself any time to be held back. But also sometimes it does make me act a little crazy. but I would say I definitely did experience that a little bit at the beginning, just not really like thinking care, I guess. Like, why would people care?
Oh my God, I go through that every single day.
Yeah, but obviously I think I'm a pretty good example that people do care. Even if you think that they're not going to, they'll start to care. But yeah, so I think I did, but just starting, like, that was what I had to force myself to do. I talked about it with my best friend forever. She was like, just do it. Like, stop talking about it. Just do it. I was like, just do it.
You're right. Like, thank you. So then I guess that we kind of touched on it, but being our own worst critics, have you dealt with that before? I know social media is like the hub of inspiration, but also comparison.
Yeah.
So have you ever dealt with that? And if you have, how have you like overcome that?
Yeah, I absolutely have. At the beginning of my account, I was doing portraits, which I wish somebody would have been like, hey girl, stop doing these. This is a waste of your time. But that was like the only accounts that I saw, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this then. But that's not my thing. That is not what I like. That's not that. So at the beginning, I was like, I'm just like, this is not going to work. Like, this isn't going to can't do this. Like, I don't like it. And it's just, I'm not good at it. Because, you know, I started my account with the original intentions that I talked about, but then I kind of fell into like, oh, these people are doing this, so people want to see. But then finally I was like, okay, I don't like that. And I just started making things that I liked and realized that like, why would I do what everybody else is doing? Then why do people want to follow me if they've already got it somewhere else? Mm-hmm. I'm so big on being original, especially because this is a whole other thing, but like me and a lot of my Instagram friends, like there's a lot of copying going on in the Instagram world. Mm-hmm. And especially as I grow, like it just is like, ooh, like there just is a lot of copying. And so I'm original because like people are like, how'd you grow? I'm like, well, that's how. Like if you copy people, then why would they follow you? Like, why would you get new followers if they can just go to that original person's page and follow them to get it there first? You know what I mean? So yeah, I think at the beginning I compared myself to other people a lot, and I was like, you know, I'm just not as good as these people. Like I'm, you know, my stuff's similar and it's not as good. But now I've really found that, like, first of all, you can always find somebody who you think is better than you, and you will probably think that a lot of people are better than you, when what does that really mean? You know what I mean? Like, what quantifies better? Like, that's just so stupid. Like, every time I think that, I'm like, why am I, that's stupid. That's not, like, no, there's no quantifiable, like, better. Followers doesn't mean better. Likes doesn't mean better. It really does not. But yeah, so I've definitely fallen into that. And to keep myself motivated, I would say, sometimes I just have to get off of Instagram for a little bit and stop looking through my feed and just like go outside, sit outside, a little bit, like maybe make something that I never post, just like doodle around, and just kind of like get myself back to a friend maybe about it. I really like talking through that kind of stuff. I'm a 4 Enneagram, if anybody knows what that means. So all my emotions, I really do like to express them and annoy people with them. So sometimes I'll just talk it out, and hearing somebody be like, what, like, what are you talking about, is helpful sometimes, I would say.
Yeah. It kind of puts into perspective, you know,
certain things
from like someone that isn't in the Instagram graphic design niche.
And they'll be like, really? Yeah. You know, yeah.
What are your short-term and long-term goals for katiecreative.co?
This one is so scary, but I always, like I said, I do like making goals and not, you know, step-by-step plans. But I would say short-term, I do want to product lines, like right now I'm mugs, which is exciting because that's, but I would say, you know, expanding all of that, and then just continuing, like one of my big goals is not to like lose steam when I go back to school, just to kind of keep it up and like keep it a priority and find a way to balance it, which is really hard to do when I'm not there yet, but I know that I'll be able to do it. Like I know that I always see, I don't know the exact quote, but like it's now that like you have time for whatever you want to make time for. Like if something's a priority, you'll have time for it. So I keep having to remind myself of that. And long-term, I mean, as scary as it is, like if it was possible, I'd like to do this as a job.
I could see
obviously it. Very, very spooky to say, and will not be, you know, if that's going to be able to happen, but I really do love it. And I like freelance design as well as like selling products. I think that more long-term, like I really do like the product, like selling products, retail side of it. That's just something that I'm really passionate about. Makes me really excited to like see physical things. So I would say growing that is something that I'm really focusing on and keeping going with. Obviously the freelance stuff is great and everything, and like, it's really fun, but, I'm definitely more passionate about the actual like retail side of things. So I would say, you know, maybe just to keep growing it and to keep just, I know it sounds so stupid, but like spreading positivity and stuff. I get DMs all the time. People are like, thank you for like spreading positivity. I'm like, that's so sweet. Like, you're welcome. Half of it's just for myself, 'cause I'm like, oh, I wish somebody would tell me this right now. And I'm like, oh, I'll tell them then. So yeah.
Oh yeah. That's true. So I guess we're coming to the last question of this episode. If you could tell yourself from 3 years ago a single piece of advice, what would it be?
I would say, so 3 years ago, I was a freshman, which
wild
is insane. I'm about to go into my sophomore year. And at that point, I was still an education major. Yikes. So I would tell myself that you don't have to have it all figured out, and just to kind of go with the flow, because I was so stressed time. Like I did not know what I wanted to do with my life. I was not happy with my major, but I had no idea like what I wanted to do. Like I didn't even really think of like any sort of communications, anything as like a major. Like I didn't even know that you could do, I didn't know that people did that. I was just young and my parents worked traditional jobs that, I mean, not even that my stuff isn't a traditional job. I'd never been exposed to that. I would just say like, it will come to you if you just give it some time and follow your passions, and also that your passions can be your career. Like you just have to like look into it and like be at, like you have to be active in pursuing it, following your lap, like your passions can become. So that's what I would tell myself, I think.
I guess that's a perfect way to end off this episode. And if you want to plug yourself, go ahead.
Yeah, so my Instagram is at katiecreative.co. My Etsy is Katie Creative Company. I have a TikTok. I think it's katiecreative.co. TikTok's fun sometimes. But yeah, if you keep up with me, Instagram is the place to be. And all the other links are on there. But yeah, I had so much fun talking to you. Thank you for having me.
This was great. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yay. So fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to follow the Dare to Design Instagram account for more content. It's at daretodesign.podcast. The link will also be in the description of this episode. All right, again, thank you so much for listening to today's episode, and I'll talk to you later.